Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen. I do appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out. It's Jeff at beekeepingfornewbies.com, N-E-W-B-E-E-S.com. Well, today we're going to do episode 127, and I'm talking about, this is actually coming directly from a question in our Discord room. It's almost more of like a Bee Buzz kind of question. We're really only going to answer that one question today, but it's sort of like a half episode. But I really wanted to get the question answered as soon as possible because I got 6 other episodes ready to go right behind this one. So we'll get to those next week. But what we're going to be talking about today is, should you buy your bees from the same place you bought them from last year or every year for that matter? There's a couple of things that you're going to want to consider. So the race of bees that do well in your area can definitely be a consideration. Now, there are a lot of places where like any race of bees will do well. The question I think that you kind of need to ask yourself is, goes back to the questions that we talked about, and we'll dive into it a bit more later. But, you know, what are the important characteristics that you're interested in? What's important to you? And a lot of this information about the bees themselves, you can kind of figure this out from, you know, again, from the bee club, from people you know in the area, to say like, hey, what do you guys have? Oh, you know, I've got Italians, I've got Carniolans, I've got, you know, Buckfast, whatever it might be. But if you know something's working well as a race of bees in your area, that's a good starting point. Now, what I would like to do, like, for example, I would love to have some Buckfast bees and some Russians. I know that they do well in cooler climates. I think that from what I understand of the Buckfast bee, it's a good hardy bee. It has a good temperament. You know, I would definitely like to have them. I just haven't had the availability really where I am to get them easily, which leads me into what the trickier kind of question would be. It's not so much a matter of what I want, but what does the apiary near me have available, or, you know, what do whoever can ship them to me, you know, what do they have? Because your options really are only going to be limited by what you can get. But if I had to give kind of a one sentence answer to this question, I would say, if you bought bees from them last year and everything is working fine, you feel like they treated you well and the bees you got were good, they had no health issues, nothing that really jumped out, I would see no reason to not buy from them again. So the question then becomes, what's important to you right now? As a new beekeeper, this is where, you know, you probably don't know what you don't know. So when people say, well, here's all the things that you kind of want to look for the genetics of your bees, of the list, what do you think sounds important? Well, a lot of people are going to be like, well, you know, honey production is really important because I want to get a lot of honey. So they start looking for bees that are really good producers. And they're not, you know, not necessarily thinking about temperament as much because they haven't kept bees yet, right? So they get these bees in that are just producing tons and tons of honey. And every time you interact with them, they're calculating ways to take you out. Right. You just know, like when you walk away, they're like, all right, next time, this is what we're going to do. And they just want you to die. Right. Like, so once you've dealt with a colony that really doesn't like you at all, you may move, you know, the temperament of those bees up a little bit higher in your priority list. Now, let's go ahead and take a second. Now, I used to always tell everybody, and you guys, if you've been listening for a while, you know this, there's the 5 traits that I tell you that you want to look for as you are developing your own bee yard. And you're getting rid of queens or traits that you don't like and really trying to hold on to and, you know, reproduce new queens with the traits that you do like. I'm adding a 6th one to the list and we'll get there with number 6. So number 1 on the list is going to be the ability to overwinter. This is hands down, like really, it's got to be near the top of the list. It's got to be really high up because there is that thing you could do if you wanted to where you buy some bees in the spring and you take all of their honey and then you just say, okay, guys, well, I hope you had a good year, and they just die because you took all of their honey. A lot of people actually already do this. They just don't know it. they take all the honey in and they say, I'm just going to feed the heck out of them and get a bunch of sugar candy and bricks and fondant and all this stuff in there, and they wonder why they died. But talking about the ability to overwinter is actually an interesting little side discussion I think we should have. There are a lot of places that are going to sell you overwintered nukes. So, like, I'm going to guess on nuke prices now. I haven't looked in a couple of years, probably, except for the guy. Rick sent me an email and told me about a guy in Canada selling nukes for $50, which I would love to go there and buy like 100 of them. But outside of that, I think right now about $200 is probably what you're going to be looking at for a nuke. And I've seen people hitting $250, $275. But here's a little marketing gimmick that I want you to be aware of. I'm not saying that everybody is doing this or that this is something that's going to be a real common thing to watch out for, but you want to ask a few questions. People will sell what they call overwintered nukes. Now, what they do is they kind of bend the letter of the law. They look at it kind of like an attorney, like, well, the bees that were in this nuke, like, you know, that nuke overwintered, or that colony overwintered, and I put some of the bees from that into this new nuke that I made. So that's from overwintered stock. That is not what we're talking about. If you tell me that you have a overwintered nuke, what that means to me is there is a queen that emerged from a queen cell and was mated in 2024. Now, for context, if you're listening to this a couple years down the road, so we're talking about right now, it's January 24th of 2025. So if you're buying this spring of 2025, you're buying an overwintered nuke. My expectation is that in 2024, that queen emerged from a queen cell, was mated, and began laying. She is now almost a year old. That's my expectation. That is the question you have to ask. So when you say, hey, I see you're selling overwintered nukes, when were all of these queens reared? Like, when were these, you know, when did the queens, when did you guys establish these queens? Because that's a question that they have to know. If they say, oh, we're not really sure, we don't keep that good of records, that's a big red flag. If they don't have records of the queens they're producing, big red flag, run away, do not pass go, do not collect $200, you got to go away, you don't want to do business with them. They should be able to clearly tell you about that. What some places are doing is they are counting the overwintered bees as being overwintered, and then mating queens that are brand new queens in the spring of 2025 and selling you that queen. So technically they're not lying. The bees came out of a nuke or a colony that overwintered to become that nuke, and they're installing a newly mated queen. So that's why there's a premium. The premium is for the queen that overwintered. If she didn't overwinter, you're not getting a good deal. All right, number two on the list is the temperament. Now, again, these are no particular order, right? You may have a thing that's more important to you. Move them around as you may. The last one, the newly added one, number six, I'm going to argue that that is equally as important as number one on the list so far. But temperament, how nice, how mean, you know, how are the bees when you come around? This is kind of a weird thing because I've seen some colonies that are really, really great producers, but they are just ornery as they can be. And you have to think about, like, well, in the wild, it's probably better for them to be aggressive and very protective of what they've worked hard to acquire and to make during the flow and being able to store away all that honey. Like, it's kind of natural to want them to be protective of that. But yet for you as the beekeeper, you want them to be really, really nice. So finding that balance between their temperament. And another one on the list here is honey production. So how can you get a decent amount of honey with the right amount of temperament? Again, it's a little balancing act. So we just talked about temperament and honey, and we're going to go to hygiene now. Now, hygiene has multiple aspects to it. It's not just a matter of how well they generally clean up the hive, but it's being able to recognize something wrong with brood and get it out quickly before whatever that disease might be can continue to spread. Or, you know, for whatever reason, maybe you've had an issue of chalk brood or sac brood, or there's something that just for whatever reason, that particular larva that was capped and it was in the pupal phase did not continue to develop. For having bees that just hygienically clean things up, like I've had the bottom of the hive before where it is, there's just junk everywhere. Like you open up and you get to the bottom and there's just crap all over the place. I've had others where you open it up and everything is nice and neat and clean. So like good general cleanliness, you know, is good and great and all of that. But it's really the ability of the bees to clean each other, monitor each other. And this also kind of comes into when you hear about VSH, Varroa Sensitive Hygiene. So this goes into the bees being able to, as part of their grooming behaviors, being able to go to each other and be like, hey, sis, I need you to turn around there, like right by your shoulder, that thing, you know, and they're like touching their mouth. What, over here by my mouth? No, it's on your shoulder. And being able to actually remove the mites as part of the physical grooming, but also on the other part of hygiene is being able to kind of sniff out like, hey, inside this cell, there is a Varroa mite. We got to get this thing out of here. And uncapping the cell and yanking that pupa with those mites on it, getting them out and tossing them out before they have time to reproduce. So having some of those really cool, you know, Varroa hygienic kind of capabilities and genetic traits are really neat as well. Now, the other one we talk about a lot is the tendency to swarm. And this goes back to, like, I know Russians swarm pretty easily. I think any colony that is under a lot of pressure for space, you know, they're going to swarm. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of, you know, what the tolerance is for that among the different kind of races and individual genetics within those races. Paying attention to that and knowing what you're getting into. Like, I've had several people that have had Russians and they've been like, I just can't keep up with them. They just swarm like crazy. And that's another thing, too, with like your Africanized bees as well. They tend to swarm a little bit earlier than like, say, your Italians would. Now, the one that I'm adding on is my new number 6 on the list. And again, I put this up there right with the ability to overwinter as far as how important it is. And it's what we just talked about with Varroa resistance. And this is, you know, it's still challenging to obtain this because of all the variables involved in mating and the ability to keep that resistance intact. You know, if it's not already native in your area, I mean, and it almost comes down really to the apiary level. If you're doing everything in your apiary to get those genetics, and then, you know, your virgin queens are going out into the open market there of your neighborhood and mating with everybody else's drones, those drones are not likely going to have the same resistance passed along in their genetics. But it's definitely something I think everybody should be working towards, especially if you have your own, you know, breeding program. Like some people are going to say, look, I'm never raising my own queens. I don't want to deal with it. I don't like it. And I would say, well, hey, please rethink that because it's really easy. It doesn't take a lot of work on your part as the beekeeper, but it is a little different from the guarantees that you get when somebody sends you or you go and pick up a mated queen. It's a lot easier to say mated queen in hand, you go in the hive, right? That's a lot easier than, okay, here's a queen cell. I'm going to wait for the queen to emerge. I'm going to wait for her to get, you know, out on her mating flight, return successfully, start laying. Having some of those variables in there and not knowing whether or not she's going to make it back, I understand why some people want the guarantee of just buying a queen. I understand that. But if you do any kind of breeding on your own and you're trying to do something, if nothing else, you should be monitoring all of these things, you know, at least like on a monthly basis. Pull your mite counts every month. See where they are. If you have, let's say you have 5 colonies and 4 of them are like showing, you know, 1 or 2 mites per 100, and you've got one that's got 8, 10, 20, like you really might want to look at requeening that, you know, that colony that's having some struggles there. It's like pay now, pay later, right? If you don't want to do it now, okay, that's fine. That colony is probably going to have a pretty heavy viral load by the time they hit, you know, August, September timeframe, but you can roll the dice and hope that they get it together. So here are the things that I would be asking of that apiary. Even though I bought from them last year, I would ask them this. It would be great as a first-time buyer or a return buyer. The first thing I want to say is if they're going to be professional and they're answering all your questions, which you should be asking a lot, right? You should be asking a lot of questions because I look at it maybe differently. If I go into a local convenience store and the person who's working the counter there at like 7-Eleven and I'm like, hey, Mr. or Mrs. 7-Eleven person, I got this Dr. Pepper here and I see where it says there is some sodium bicarbonate in here or whatever chemicals are in it. I'm not expecting that they're going to give me a big discussion. Like they're not going to be able to really dive in deep as to why I should or shouldn't consume certain things that they're selling to me. That's not the nature of that relationship. When you go and you buy honeybees from somebody, like to me, there's an expectation that I have as the one selling them. We're kind of entering into a little bit of a partnership here. We're going to work together. I want to make sure that you're comfortable with what you're buying. You understand what you're buying. you know what the next steps are. Like if somebody came to me and said, look, I want to buy this nuke from you. I'm going to say, great. How long have you been keeping bees? And you're like, oh, 5 years. Oh, okay, cool. You have any questions for me? Like, I want to know because I want to help you. I want you to be successful and I want to be your partner in that, you know, in that transaction. So if you know, if you start asking them questions and they don't want to talk, they don't want to answer things, the answers are really short, they're kind of blowing you off, that should be a red flag for you. But thinking back to last year, like if, when you bought your bees before, if you took them home and, you know, you did a mite wash on them, or maybe you went ahead and just treated right away, but, you know, those bees didn't have any IPM. When I say IPM, I'm saying integrated pest management. They didn't have any pest-related issues. Everything seemed healthy. You know, so you would have the same expectation going into the next year. So that might be an opportunity to say, hey, look, you know, I bought bees from you guys last year and I had no issues. Everything was great. Have you guys changed anything in your operation? Are you still all using your own bees? You know, are you doing anything different? Because a lot of apiaries, I shouldn't say a lot of apiaries. I know that there are people and groups who will, as an example here in Virginia, they'll run down to Georgia, load up a big truck and trailer with a couple hundred packages, come back to Virginia, install all the packages in a bunch of nuke boxes, and then a month later they're selling nukes for, you know, so they're getting a bulk deal for like, you know, $70, $80 on a package, and they take it back to Virginia for a month, raise it into a nuke and sell it for $200 or $220, and they're getting, you know, like 120% markup or whatever it comes out to be. That's fine for conducting the transaction of selling a nuke. It doesn't help with anything genetically. It doesn't help bring genetics into your area that are good in your area, things like that. So when we talk about trying to find genetics that are local to you, you have to ask that question, because just because you buy it at an apiary 20 minutes from your house, they may outsource all the packages. Like they may sell nukes and they sell 100 nukes a year. And if you're buying their packages, the packages might have been brought in from somewhere else. You have no idea. So just ask any of those questions around, like, hey, where do the queens come from? Do you make your own nukes? Do you make your own packages? And there's another question you can always ask them is you can say, another question you can ask them is say, hey, if you were me and I was you, we were changing the roles here, and you were coming to me to buy to buy these bees today, like, what questions would you be asking? Like, have I asked you everything that you think are good questions? Like, did I miss anything? Like, what do you think is important? Just see what they're going to tell you. Again, if they're very much open and they want to talk and they want you to feel comfortable, that's a good business. That's the kind of people you want to stay close and keep close to you. And then also ask them too. And this is usually better before you've given them the money. Like once they have the money, the feeling can be a little different. But if you're talking to them ahead of time, and I always recommend if you have the ability to actually drop by face to face and smile big and pretty and be like, hey, how you doing? I wanted to talk to you. I'm thinking about buying some bees from you. Just want to come down and put a face to the name or whatever. Have a little bit of dialogue. You might, you know, really hit it off and get to a point where you say, hey, listen, I really enjoyed talking to you today. I appreciate all your insight. Looking forward to picking up the bees in the spring. By the way, if I run into any roadblocks or issues, can I give you a call and just, you know, talk to you for 3 or 4 minutes and see if we can work through it? Because I'm new and I'm not really sure what I'm doing, but man, I really appreciate you taking the time today. I feel like you really get it. I feel like, you're a really sharp person. Compliment them, be nice. And if you're being nice to them, they're probably going to be nice to you and be willing to help you out. You know, I think that most people in the industry here they're honest, hardworking. Most of them are ethical. But there's always going to be people out there who are going to take advantage of your ignorance. They're going to take advantage of the things that you don't know about beekeeping that they do that nobody can really ever prove, right? So if you're thinking about going somewhere, you're not really sure where to go, you haven't, you know, you know a name of a place or two, but you haven't heard of anything, join our Discord room. If you go to the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage, it's newbees.com. But go to beekeepingfornewbies.com. There's a link to our Discord room. Join the Discord room. And in there, you can just drop the name of the business that you're thinking about working with. If anybody knows them already, they can kind of give you their 2 cents. I'm not endorsing any businesses right now that are selling bees online for shipment to people's houses. So you're kind of on your own for that one. Maybe we'll talk about it some other day. But if you're looking for a little extra guidance or some tips and tricks, check out the YouTube channel. It's just at beekeeping. It's youtube.com/@beekeepingfornewbies. And remember, it's newbees. Take a peek there. We got a bunch of different videos on things, and hopefully they'll help out a little bit with what you're trying to do. Oh, and one last thing I did forget about is also when you're looking and you're shopping around for where you might buy some bees from, you know, check their online reviews as well. You know, check out like their Google reviews, Reddit, any other online forums, Facebook forums, wherever you might already be talking to people about bees. Just do a little bit of research there and see if you can, you know, glean a little bit of insight from that. So outside of that, folks, we are at Friday, and the week is wrapped up here. Like I said, the next couple episodes I've got is, one of them is about queen killing, some of the common things people are doing around killing their queens, or at least thinking that they are. We have a discussion about why you hear me talk a lot about the Langstroth hive and not the other 4 million options that are out there. We're going to talk about smoking the bees a little bit some more, about why it's important to be a bit more gentle and not necessarily over smoking. We've got a discussion here on, this one's actually pretty cool. It's something that I came up with. It's called the beekeeping triangle. So I will further explain that to you. That one's really good. I came up with that. It was an old IT thing that my good buddy Mark, that I used to work with at a really great company that I worked for about 7 years, he told me this as it relates to IT professional services. That's all I'll tell you for now. I'll give you the rest of the story later. And then the other episode that I have on there is more details on feeding. There's a few more things I want to talk about with feeding, and I want to just kind of revisit some things, because what's happening lately is I'm trying to get out and just walk more, because I haven't been doing a lot of the stuff I used to do, and I need to be moving around. So I'm walking more, and while I'm walking, I'm going back and I'm listening to episodes, and I'm going like, what was I thinking when I said that? Or what did I mean here? So there's a few things that I'm trying to kind of clarify and provide a little bit more detail and insight on. So we'll be trying to cover a few extra topics and maybe going back on a few things. And that's probably about all I've got for you today. So take care, be kind to one another, and remember that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.